Welcome. It's the official first pregame episode of the 2021 Blue Mafia season. We've made it. We've got a home opener in Orchard Park, where the sun beams down on Sundays at 1 p.m. on the East Coast, Eastern Standard Daylight Savings. Northeastern football at its finest. Alcoholism, debauchery, competition, family, freedom. It's football, baby. Fall football. We made it. Blue Mafia, Bills lovers everywhere united. It's episode 7 of the podcast, if you're keeping track. But it's the official game week edition pregame special. So if you've been following along here, we've got the schedule out. Hump day checkdown was a little late. Had a busy day at the day job, but expect that around Wednesdays and Saturday. We're recording here in Elmwood Village at the home studio. Got the guys on game day talking here. Brock Purdy right now, subject of conversation. Big game, Iowa State at 4:30. It's around 11 Eastern time right now as we record. We're going to go over everything you need to know in terms of what I think you need to know coming into the Steelers game. A lot of Steelers stuff to talk about. I think some guys getting written off. Some guys possibly adding some more witches brew to the mix in the Steel Curtain. We're going to talk Bills, Steelers at some high-level stuff, some in-depth stuff. But then we're just going to go around the league in the second half and just look at 5 quick games to watch around the league, because I think they're going to have some implications down the stretch. So thanks for listening. If you're listening in Buffalo, if you're listening in the great country that is the United States, or another country around the world, thanks for listening. We love you. Go Bills. Go Buffalo. So if you listen to the podcast, you've heard pretty much everything I got to say coming into the season from both the Bills standpoint and around the league. Everybody obviously dropping their predictions this week for the Super Bowl. I haven't actually done that yet, which I'm probably late because first game week is tomorrow, but I'll probably think about that. I had a lot of thoughts about that. Not going to drop that today, but look back at some of the old content we dropped here on the pod. There's some really interesting stuff. You can fast forward through it on YouTube. We have the little channel markers in there for you. So, each episode has a kind of little breakdown. But, check that stuff out. Check out my hump day checkdown from this week, which went out Wednesday evening. Probably going to start writing those on Tuesday nights. But they like to have the most late breaking news as we print. You know what I'm saying? So the hump day checkdown went out Wednesday. Some interesting things there. Talked a little bit about Emmanuel Sanders, question marks, but interesting how I sort of realized that he was a part of 3 different Super Bowl teams in 12 years, and also totally forgot, because of how many jerseys he's worn over the years, that he was a member of the Steelers. Also, he was a member of the Steelers Super Bowl team that didn't win versus Matt Hasselbeck, but lost to Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl XLV, whatever one that is. Can't remember. But that was a great game. Rodgers obviously inherited that team from Favre and took the Packers to the Superland. Steelers' young team then. Sanders was injured, carted off after 2 catches in that game. Key loss. Obviously, we know Antonio Brown part of that squad back in the day. The Steelers always churning out key receivers, though, is what we're talking about here. Young talent. You even forget about the reign. I saw a meme. It was Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. We're talking about Antonio Brown being best friends with Tom Brady in Tampa and Le'Veon Bell going from the Chiefs not being a factor and now a part of the Ravens. So it's just wild how the NFL's turned, but the Steelers are the Steelers and they're going to come in ready to play. And I think a lot of people are being written off. Few things I wanted to kind of touch on. Check out the Hump Day checkdown. There's some notes there, but beyond just Sanders, it's interesting how he has been a part of three Super Bowl teams. Can he make it four with Buffalo? Young, dynamic team here in Buffalo, but not a whole lot of veterans on the offensive side of the ball at any position. You know, maybe Cole Beasley could count as somewhat of a veteran, but he's obviously taken on this sort of rebellious veteran. Not, I guess, exactly the best.
Excuse me.
Coffee. Not exactly the best example for everyone, maybe, in the locker room. But Sanders, obviously a key part of the team. Questionable coming in tomorrow or today if you're watching on Sundays. Star Latulé also out, unfortunately. But the Steelers come in with a new offensive scheme. Last year, I found it remarkable how similar their attack to Buffalo in Buffalo was as their attack the week prior to the Washington football team in both nature and tempo and also attack. It was almost as if they didn't put anything really new in, and that is a little bit of Ben Roethlisberger probably, and we know how he loves to practice, but installation is a huge part of being a creative offensive football team. And you know, we're hoping to see Buffalo and Dable and Allen and Dorsey and Davis the Mind Webb continue to develop new route combinations, protections, gimmick plays, run schemes, blocking patterns each week, game planning dependent on what the opponent is running and what the opponent's strengths are and weaknesses, obviously. But you know, you kind of want to play into their strengths if you are a very good team and you have as much talent as both the Steelers and the Bills have. But it's a big week. It's a big week for both teams, and here's why. The Steelers, coming off an 11-0 start, lost their confidence in that two-game stretch between Washington and Buffalo. They were beaten and buried, slapped around and buried. And Ben, it was the first sign of the last sign of the tears of Ben that fell on the final game. And we witnessed embarrassing losses the year prior with Duck Hodgins and Mason Rudolph obviously getting attacked by Myles Garrett. And the Steelers have had a couple of ugly runs here. And I feel as though this is a beast to be reckoned with. Unfortunately, I'm not ready to say that I'm gonna, you know, pick a loss necessarily for the Bills, but I think that a lot of people are overexcited fans wise. I don't think that Sean McDermott is going to be underprepared. A lot of loose stuff in some of the media coverage of the Bills and before practice and stuff. You know, you see Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen goofing around quite a bit. You hope they don't come in loose, because the fans are going to bring great energy. We know that, but that's all they're going to do. They're not going to have any impact on the game. You know, we know that they're going to have slight impact on some of the execution by the Bills. Bills defense, really, because one thing about the crowd noise, the offense, obviously, will, Steelers offense will be impacted by crowd noise, but also that will be impacted is a Bills defense that hasn't played in loud environments. And we know a lot about how offensives need to communicate. Well, the defense is when we've got a lot of rotating and switching around and shifting by an offense led by Matt Canada is going to need to communicate. And the offense, the Bills, that is, we saw early in Josh's first drive, he quieted the crowd, which you like to see. We want to have almost like that Peyton Manning used to silence the RCA Dome in Indianapolis and Denver. We want the quarterback to be able to talk. Well, I have a big question mark here next to Tremaine Edmonds' name and along with the rest of the defense, because I feel as though they're going to be the key to victory. We know Brandon Bean put a lot of priority and effort and energy into shoring up the front line. And we've let a few guys go over the years, Shaq Lawson, the dude we lost to the Cardinals, defensive tackle, Jordan Phillips. Terrific players we've let go that didn't necessarily make it up to par. Marcel Darius, which we know kind of fizzled out, unfortunately. But Star Latulele supposed to be coming back out. We have, obviously, the monster Greg Russo on the corner. Addison, unfortunately, left practice for some reason. But Tremaine Edmonds, this is a huge question mark year for me, for him. And everyone understands the value of his athleticism. He seems to be a nice kid. He is very young. The upside, the ceiling remains to be seen. The instincts and desire to hit are something I personally have yet to see. And I don't want to discount the athletic stature and abilities that Tremaine Edmonds clearly demonstrates. But there's a certain switch in some football players that has nothing to do with athleticism, has nothing to do with size, has nothing to do with speed or power. It's all to do with heart and a little bit of mental illness, to be frank. Football requires a certain amount of borderline mental illness and psychosis to not only survive, but intimidate your opponent with hard hits and intimidation, as the fine men from Little Giants taught us many years ago. Intimidation. But Tremaine Edmonds, I've always had questions surrounding his ability not only to inflict punishment on hits, but his instincts. He's always seemingly around the ball because of his athleticism, but he's always seemingly one, maybe a half step late here, half step late there, coming into the screen on every play. He's there. But start watching. You know, Jordan Poyer, on the other hand, we've seen Brandon Bean put effort in on the front. Jordan Peterson and Mike Hyde are arguably the most underrated football players in the league. Constantly coming up on run protection. Run protection. A front seven pass rush upgrade. Great defense on the back end run support. Milano great in coverage. AJ Klein. We've got guys stepping up everywhere. Can we see Tremaine Young step up? He's going to be challenged this week, because thanks to Sean Brusso, good friend of mine, football guru, genius, he sent over a video that you can find in that Hump Day Checkdown video of Matt Canada's offense back in Pittsburgh College University, University of Pittsburgh. Panthers, Tyler Palko, shout out, legend. Matt Canada will be doing a lot of shifting, a lot of adjusting, a lot of movement before the snap. That's how they get open speed and space. Now, firstly, the stable of receivers, they have Deontay Johnson in fantasy ranking higher above Juju and Claypool. And if not for TikTok, I think that those two receivers, Claypool and Juju, would receive a lot more respect. But they're written off. Now, this Canada offense with all this movement up front and things shifting, trying to get the defense to reset and then gutting you either with power run game, slashing you, or play action or quick game through the seams and slots to speed and space. That's going to put Tremaine Edmonds on an island. So I want you all to watch Tremaine Edmonds this weekend, key in on him and see how he adjusts, see how, one, he communicates with the crowd and how the defense is led by him and who steps up. Two, run support, pass support. Where is he? Is he coming into the frame after the play's been had to be made? Is he missing tackles? Is he finishing strong? Three, is he hitting hard? Can we get some big hits? All that big, fast athleticism. Can we bring some power? On the offensive side of the ball for the Bills, I wanted to point out Gabe Davis. Understated, undervalued by the media. I think the Bills internally all know and understand how great he could be. Last year, I had a thing pop up from last year I shared on the Reg in the Zoo podcast, the original. Brandon Marshall, former NFL receiver, spoke very highly of Gabe Davis coming out of college. And not a lot of talk fantasy-wise for Gabriel, that is. But I'm predicting like 60 to 80 catches, 600 to 800 yards, and 6 to 8 touchdowns for Gabriel Davis, receiver out of UCF. Shout out Mackenzie Milton, one of my favorites. Quarterback, had a great game last week. Came in and played amazing. Amazing comeback story. Shout out Michael Penix, also came back, tough break, but he's an amazing passer. And also shout out Grant Calcaterra coming back for SMU, former Oklahoma tight end superstar. I want him to make the league. But so keep an eye on Gabe this week and every week, because I just think that he's going to slowly creep into the national media, and I hope that we can hang on to him. Hopefully it doesn't come into a situation where he's eating up targets from somebody else on the team. On the defensive side of the ball, watch out for Devin Bush on the Steelers. Devin Bush returning from injury. He's an amazing linebacker, football player, just getting after you. He's somebody who's going to be a menace to watch on defense. They have a young secondary coming in, a lot of change there. But you know that the Steelers are going to play that style of football. Watch out. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch out for not dirty stuff, but almost dirty stuff. And, you know, beyond just the receiving core on offense to watch, we've seen Big Ben. You have to know him by now. But if you don't know Najee Harris by now, very, very talented running back. I already didn't like him before the Steelers drafted him. He was good at Alabama. Sort of had to wait his turn a little bit. Obviously, with the stable of backs they have and receiving core. But great career there. Then he came on Pat McAfee's podcast, and I was listening to it, and it didn't receive a whole lot of like mention socially, but the way that he sort of like had an attitude on this interview with Pat McAfee, I was just like, no thanks on him. Turns out, I guess he's had a real, like, you know, pretty tough life, which sort of explains, you know, maybe this little chip on his shoulder. I respect how far he's made it based on what I've heard. I heard he does a lot of good things in the community with respect to giving back and charities and things like that. So watch out for him just as a player, but also he could certainly mature into a very nice professional athlete. He's very well spoken. I didn't like him on the interview, but after seeing him, a lot of Bills fans, you know, kind of touching on his thoughts about liking playing on the road and silencing people. Well, that was pretty, as much as you could want to talk shit to it, I thought it was pretty stoic and pretty serious. And I think that the way that that energy comes off to teammates in the huddle is stoic and powerful and cryptic. And that kind of confidence can really carry over. If you've got Big Ben aging, sure. But if you've got the threat of that running back, along with Freiermuth, along with those three running backs, Steelers are going to be a problem. It's going to be a tough game. So don't get your hopes up. Don't get too hammered, because I think this one's going down to the wire. So thanks for listening. That's the Bills home opener recap special. Recap everything, I think, coming in. Stay tuned for the pregame dump tomorrow morning on BlueMafia.com, but we're planning on letting you guys watch these before the game. So if it's Saturday night or if it's Sunday a.m., you know, you can watch this on your phone or on the tablet or even on the telly on YouTube. So if you want to stick around, second part, I'm just going to go over five NFL games to watch that I think are going to have some big implications on how the game goes. This Bills-Steelers game would have been on that list if I wasn't a Bills fan. So National football fans, stick around. Bills fans, have fun. Hey, y'all. Thanks for sticking around. It's part two, episode 7, Blue Mafia, baby. We talked Bills Steelers. Gonna just hop around the league a little bit. There's a bunch of great games, college and NFL. Watched a little bit of high school football last night. A little live stream, some technical difficulties there, but it's still amazing in this day and age to be able to watch live Western New York football streaming on the telly. So five games to watch. These are my Reg's games to watch. If you have, you know, Red Zone or whatever NFL game path. Everybody likes to watch fantasy football. Everybody has FanDuel, Daily Fantasy. But around the I got five key games, because these are ones that not only are you going to be watching because you probably have some big players playing in fantasy, daily fantasy, but also they have implications. Dennis Reynolds implications. No, but first one, Colts Seahawks. I got two sides of quarterbacks here, both pretty Christian, pretty good guys, both pretty widely respected. Two different kinds of survival, though. So we've got Carson Wentz, Eagles. Everybody knows the story on him. Already some foot questions. He's in a new place with a new daddy in Frank Reich. He's got to change the way he plays. People were just talking about it. I heard on a podcast on Russillo, someone was just saying, you know, as I've said, and as I've been a victim of, you got to protect your body if you want to play the game for a long time. And Carson has not done that. He tries to hang on to the ball, make every play. Seahawks' Russell Wilson, on the other hand, also tries to keep the play going for as long as possible, but he's managed to somehow survive. And if I were to put the tin hat on, part of that reason he has survived is because he has the respect of the defenders around the league, because he understands, you know, there's like these little like plays. Jay Cutler was just talking about one where he kind of accidentally ran someone over to get a first down. There's these little impact plays where these guys can take a shot at someone if they really want to, but they don't really, because the guy's all right, you know, once again, tin hat. But there's a certain level of respect. Russell Wilson has got it. I think Drew Brees had it for a long time until he had some weird comments in the offseason during some trying times. And then he got – I sort of predicted off the air that he was going to get hurt last year, and he did. Still a good guy, but he lost that respect, I think. Brady's got it. Brady, as you saw, still can drop the pill in the pill container with the football. Pretty incredible showing by Brady. It's incredible how he can manage to just keep playing at a high level. But one thing that was really noticeable was how he didn't only want to get not hurt. He did not want to get touched. There was one nice play by him where he was able to get around someone and get the ball out to Leonard Fournette in an odd play. He sort of moved so quickly that he basically fell down, but he knows how to survive. Obviously, both of those quarterbacks, big question marks, but both a lot to prove. I think that's going to be a really good game. And DK Metcalf obviously is a superstar in the making, and all things pointing to Russell Wilson with a serious chip on his shoulder this year, ready to probably start out, you know, very hot, very heavy. And as long as he's got DK, I think they're going to be okay. Second one here, obviously Browns-Chiefs is going to be a huge game. We know everything we know about the Chiefs. I don't think we really need to talk about the Chiefs too much, but can the Browns work off what they had at the end of the year last year, where they almost overcame Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs when Mahomes was injured? A lot of people don't remember. His toe was hanging off of his foot practically for that Super Bowl while he still played that way. But, you know, the Browns played them pretty tough. Excuse me. Stefanski is the real deal. I think that Stefanski really brings a calm, stoic, winning energy. And Baker Mayfield is not a superstar, but he is a star. He's not an incredible athlete, but he is a very good athlete. And he's a great leader, and he's going to mature, and he can make pretty much every single throw that you need to. And they have Odell Beckham coming back, and they have a tough defense, and they have multiple players on that defense. And as much as the Bills are one of the top teams, obviously top favorites, the Browns are going to give a lot of teams trouble this year. And don't be surprised to see if the Browns beat them. Now, Patrick Mahomes has never lost in September, I guess, and he has like no interceptions. So let's look to see that broken. Let's see, Brownies. Let's see, Brown Eyes. Third one, Packers. A lot of drama. Obviously, a lot of drama. Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur. I still blame LaFleur not putting the ball in the old sheriff's hands. There's not ever going to be a new sheriff in town in Green Bay until the sheriff leaves town, which is Aaron Rodgers. And I fully expect them to be at another 13-3 high playing level. They control you. They sort of anaconda you over time with just that swaggy, up to the line, chill, chin strap nature. And they run the ball well. Aaron Jones, Dylan, another rookie running back I think they have there that looks good. But hey, on the other side of the ball, Jameis. I picked him up. B-Law dropped him in the money league. Not high implications. I did drop someone I kind of love. I'm not going to drop that name. Amon-Ra St. Brown. I dropped him, even though I think he's still going to have a good year. But I figured, hey, quarterback, if Justin Herbert shits the bed this weekend versus the Washington football team, which he might. Hope not. Key part of my money league team. Jameis Winston, I look back in 2019, he was like the third highest fantasy quarterback. You think he's not going to put up numbers with Sean Payton? Fantasy wise. And the Saints defense is tough. What more does Jameis Winston need to succeed? As long as he doesn't get in trouble stealing any lobster legs. So lobster legs, Jameis. His training videos are fucking sweet, by the way. Keep training, Jameis. I root for him. I hope that his LASIK really helps him in that dome. He's throwing in a dome. He has Sean Payton. He has Michael Thomas coming back. He has Alvin Kamara to hand the ball off to and dump the ball off to, which is like, if you dump the ball to Alvin Kamara, it's like 12 yards passing. Why don't people think Jameis is going to succeed? I don't know. But the Packers Saints, I'd love to see Jameis outduel. I'd love to see Jameis outduel A-Rod right there. Right there. Fourth one. Cardinals, Titans. Guy that knows how to survive, as we know. Kyler Murray, baseball guy, shortstop. Little, almost like a little Lucha Libre wrestling quarterback out there. He gets around town, but he gets hurt. The Titans are tough. I've talked about it here. I've talked about it on the blog. Jeez, we've got Oregon, Ohio State in 33 minutes. That's awesome. Cardinals, Titans, though. The Titans are going to be tough. Mike Vrabel's defense is going to be tough. That game, I think, has serious implications. We're going to find out how tough Kyler Murray is, and we're going to find out how tough the Titans' offense is, because I'm sure they're going to completely establish that power game and show a lot of, I don't know, grit, manhood. So that one, watch out for that one. I think all five of these are going to show us a lot. Lastly, once again, Herbie Hancock, Justin Herbie, the silent bear. He's such a big teddy bear, like off the field. Watch the Mielekind's interview. It's almost like they had to cut because he was like going to cry. He looks like he's going to cry in every interview. But you get him out on a football field and he looks like a little boy having fun on a playground, like just doing backflips and chucking the ball like dodgeball, perfect spiral. He's a freak. But we're going to find out how much of a freak he is. He's got a new offense, as we've seen young quarterbacks struggle with transferring over into new offensive and schemes and things like that. You want to find that balance with your play caller and your installers. Let's see what he can do against the old vet, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Brings that savvy energy that, you know, Rodgers brings to his boys. But let's see what Herbie Hancock can do for the LA Chargers as they have to travel far ways. You know, they put up a good fight against us, and he played a great game versus the Bills in Buffalo in a 1 o'clock game. So I don't think he's afraid to travel. Love that kid. I think he's going to be good. And hey, if the Washington football team is good, who's not going to love to watch Fitzy have maybe, you know, one last run with maybe the best defense he's had? So that's five big games, and that's it. So let's go. Let's get ready for fucking Bills game, 1 p.m. Bills fans, Bills lovers, everywhere united, all around the world, Blue Mafia. Thanks for listening. Love you guys.